Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
We're going to talk about strength and what does it actually mean to have strength. Now, I wasn't here last week, but I believe that the girls that were here were very, very good, and they shared their testimonies about worth, strength and purpose and how that actually found them to operate in their lives, and the feedback that I got from that was great. So this week we're just going to take a little bit of a closer look at strength. And Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity and has no fear of the future." So it kind of made me think, what does it mean to be actually clothed with strength? Clothed with strength and dignity and has no fear of the future. And when we think about strength, you know, we can think about different aspects of strength. We can think about physical strength. We say some are more physically strong than others. We can think about emotional strength. We can think about spiritual strength. And I guess today we're looking more at the emotional and the spiritual strength. If you want to get physical strength, go and lift weights. Let's go do that exercise. But today we're going to look more at emotional and spiritual strength, because I think these are the areas of our lives that we really need to make sure that we're strong in. We do need to be healthy. We do need to be physically strong. But we can be physically strong and still be emotionally weak and spiritually weak. And so we really need to make sure that we work on our emotional and spiritual strength. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 46:1 that God is our refuge and our strength. He is always ready to help in times of trouble. And in Habakkuk it says that the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. In other words, our strength actually comes from God, and He enables us to have that strength. And when we don't feel strong, He's the one that actually enables us to overcome. Because when we think about strength, we're actually thinking about overcoming. We're thinking about having strength to overcome and to walk through life, the things that we need to walk through life. Our strength comes from the decisions we make, the thoughts we think, and our ability to trust God in all things. From the decisions we make, the thoughts we think, and our ability to trust God in all things. It enables us to overcome challenges and to move on. And, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about resilience and how some people seem to go through the same situation and will come out and will have very, very, very different responses. Strength enables us to go through a situation and still come out strong, because we're relying on God to help us through it and we're not making bad choices in all of that. So when we live our lives from our convictions based on who we are in God and who God is, that's when we actually really have strength. We have to understand what those convictions are though, because we can have convictions about ourselves that are wrong. We can have a conviction about ourselves that we're not any good and that we're not able and all of those kinds of things. And if we have those kind of convictions and we build on those, we will build weakness, not strength. And so we have to make sure that we have good, strong convictions. And that is part of why when we look at what we're doing, we looked at worth first, because we want to understand what our worth is. We want to understand that we have value, that we are valuable in the eyes of God, that He gives us that value. And it doesn't matter what's gone on, that just because we exist, we are valuable. And it's really, really important that we have that conviction in our lives, because that's what everything else is built on. But I want to look at four things today that help us with strength. And the first one is that I have the power of choice. I have the power of choice. We build strength when we understand that we have the power of choice. We've been given a free will and we're able to exercise the power of choice. We always, always, always have a choice. The decisions we make each day will determine our future. That's a bit scary, isn't it? But the decisions that we make today affect what happens in the future. Not just the big decisions, but the little decisions. And often it's those little decisions that we make over and over again every day that actually determine our future. The little decisions about what we do and how we think will actually change. So what we choose to believe affects our lives. So we can choose to believe a lie or we can choose to believe the truth. The choice is really, really important. We have the power of choice. You know, sometimes we say, and we've all said it, but I had no choice. And we're actually speaking a lie, because the truth is there is always a choice. There is always a choice. Because we have free will and God's given it to us, He actually expects us to use it. But He expects us to use it the right way. But we're able to make choices and decisions for our lives. We're not dictated to by other people. We are responsible for the choices that we make. And so learning to make good decisions based on truth is what builds strength into our lives. In Deuteronomy, Moses lays out a choice for the people. You know, these people had come and they'd walked through and they'd been given the law. And they'd walked for 40 years in the wilderness because they were stupid and didn't obey God. And we can be like that as well. But he says, Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law. He's basically reminding the people of what the Word of God says. And he says, in all of this, if you are obedient to God, there will be blessings. And if you're not obedient to God, you'll bear the consequences of that. And so in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants may live. We have a choice, girls. We have a choice in everything that we do, and that choice is important. Proverbs 2:11 says, wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. Some translations say wise planning will watch over you. Planning requires us to make choices. Choices are really, really important. Kathy, I was wondering if you could grab me a glass of water. So what values do we have? What convictions about life do we carry? They're important questions to ask ourselves because the values that we have and the convictions that we have will affect the type of choices that we make. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, as I said, we spoke about worth. How we think about ourselves is a conviction that we carry. We either carry the conviction that we are valuable in the sight of God or that we're not. We either carry a conviction that we are worth everything or that we're worth nothing. What is the conviction that we carry? Because the conviction that we have about ourselves affects the choices that we make. So when we have strong and what I would call positive convictions about who we are, when we hold on to them, they will affect everything. Thank you. Just if I sit on the stool, I better remember to pick the water up. They affect everything that we do. And, you know, when we've got really good values, strong values, and really good positive and strong convictions, when it comes to making the hard decisions, then we're able to make them when we make them based on those convictions and not just on the circumstances that are around. So what areas of life do we hold strong convictions about? That's a question that we have to answer for ourselves, because I suspect that there would be some things in common and some different. But what convictions do we hold about God, about who God is, about family, about self, about our health and our finance and our education? What convictions do we have about how we're going to live life and how we want to live life? Because the convictions that we have will determine the choices that we make. Are we going to base them on the convictions that we have? If those convictions aren't good convictions, if they're negative, then that's going to cause us some problems. What are the convictions, girls, that we have about life? What we choose to believe will affect what we do. If we're struggling with negative conviction, the good news is that we can change. The good news is that we can change. You know, we often hold convictions about life on lies. They're based on lies, and they're based on lies that either someone else has told us or that we've chosen to believe ourselves. People believe that they're no good, and they have a conviction about themselves about being no good because somebody told them they were no good. We can choose to believe that, or we can choose to deny that and say, I am of worth, I am of value. We can change the conviction that we have. So girls, what conviction do you have about life? What are you basing your choices on? What values in your life do you have? Because we can choose to believe what others have said, or we can choose to believe what God says about us. We can choose to believe what others have said, or we can choose to believe what God says. God says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says I love you. God says I value you. God says you are amazing. You are created in my image. You are my masterpiece. And so what convictions do we hold? Because they will affect the choices that we make. So we have this power of choice. So girls, I just want to say to you, what choices are you making based on the convictions that you have? The second point is that I can take control of my thinking. And you might think that I harp on this a lot. I do, because it's really important. We have to learn to take control of our thinking. God has given us the ability to take control of our thinking. We are what we think, because what we think determines the choices we make, and we are the consequences of those choices. Sounds a bit tough, doesn't it? We are what we think, because what we think determines the choices we make, and we are the consequences of those choices. It's sometimes a hard truth, but we can change the negative patterns of thinking. You know, if you're like me, you'll have a random thought go through your head. What are you going to do with that random thought? Sometimes the thought will just pop up. When that thought pops up, what are you going to do with it? Because that thought will strengthen something in your mind the moment you take notice of it. So what are we going to do with it? So when the thought pops up that says, I'm no good, what are you going to do with it? Can I say, girls, if you dwell on that thought, do you know what you're actually doing? You're actually making that thought stronger and stronger in your brain. You are actually building a structure in your brain that strengthens that negative thought. And so the Bible says to take them captive. We're able to take control of those random thoughts and the not-so-random thoughts that come through our brains. Our brains are pretty amazing, and I've done a lot of reading about the brain this year, and the way that they're created is absolutely incredible. But the truth is that the more we think about something, the stronger that becomes. So it's really, really clear that the more we dwell on negative, the stronger the negative becomes. But the more we dwell on the positive sides of things, the stronger the positive becomes. Our brains build structure according to what we constantly think about. Our brains build structure according to what we constantly think about. That's what's reinforced. And so what are we reinforcing in our brains, girls? What are we reinforcing? The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2, most of us would know this verse pretty well, but I challenge you to actually apply this to your life. Because I think we can read this and go, it's a great verse, but often we don't do it. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Some translations say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Ephesians 4:23 says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See, we're not to live like the world does. We're not to think like the world thinks. We're not to make decisions the way the world makes decisions. We're actually meant to be different. We're meant to take those negative things captive and deal with them. We're to make decisions about whether or not the thought is actually appropriate to be keeping in our heads. Is this a helpful thought or an unhelpful thought? Is this thought going to help me live better or is it going to hinder me? What's the thought doing in your head? 2 Corinthians 10:5, with these weapons we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons we conquer their rebellious ideas and we teach them to obey Christ. Some translations will say, take every thought captive. Take every, not just the bad thoughts, but the good thoughts as well. Because when a good thought goes through your brain, when you can think on that and when you can ponder that, you're building positive things in your brain. So in other words, the words and the ideas and the thoughts that rise up, they're either in rebellion to the truth or they're in agreement with the truth. We have to make a decision about what we're going to do with them. So when a thought comes into our conscious mind, this is when science tells us that we're actually able to change the nature of that thought and the pathways that it creates. So we can actually change those pathways. You probably hear a lot about that. Can I encourage you to actually make an effort to be thinking of the positive and to change those pathways? Because when stuff happens in our lives, our brains go through this process of thought comes in, sometimes an emotion is attached to that, and it'll flick through various parts of our brain. And there's various parts along the way where we can actually stop that process and make a change. And when that thought is in our conscious mind, that is where we have the best ability to actually change the nature of what's going on in our head. If the thought is already part of the structure of our brain, we can actually rework the thought. And we can actually transform our thinking by learning to understand where it comes from. To look at it and say, is that truth? And then if it's not truth, to actually say, well, what is the truth about that situation? And say, I am choosing to think the truth in this situation and not the negative. And then make an effort several times a day to be deliberate about thinking that truth. And if the negative pops up, being deliberate about changing it and saying, no, I am choosing not to think that. I am choosing to think the truth. So when we come and a thought comes in, sometimes a new thought will come in. You've got a great opportunity to either allow that thought to become part of your brain or not. So when the new thought comes in, if it's a good thought, you can choose it to be built strong into your brain. If it's not, let it go. Just let it go and choose. Be deliberate. I'm choosing not to think about that. Do something different instead. Look at the truth in the light of God's word. What does God's word say about that situation, that circumstance, about who we really are? I read Calvin and Hobbes. Does anybody else read Calvin and Hobbes? I love Calvin and Hobbes. I love his tiger that becomes his, you know, real little. It's just a toy tiger, but in his mind it's real. I totally get that. I totally get that idea. But if you read Calvin and Hobbes, he has all sorts of stuff. You know, he has this great imagination. He's meant to be a six-year-old kid. He's six going on 36, you know. But he's meant to have this great imagination. But he has what he calls a transmogrifier, and he changes himself from one thing to another, all in his head, of course, you know. But it just made me think about the idea of transmogrifying our thoughts, you know. Like, they can come in one form, and we can change them so that they go out in another form. And I thought of Calvin and Hobbes with his little transmogrifier and how sometimes he gets it really wrong, but he actually, you know, when something happens, he's actually trying to make a change to his situation. He's trying to do something positive about it. But what I want to say to us today about our thinking is that we can change and transform our thinking. And there is a proper scientific word for it, and I've completely forgotten what it is. I don't think it's transmogrify. But the idea is the same. You take the thought and you deal with it and you change it. You take the thought, you deal with it and you change it. For instance, the thought that says, I'm no good and I'm hopeless. We might think this because someone has told us that, and somewhere along the line, we've made a choice to believe it. Girls, we've made a choice to believe that. Okay? It's not the truth about who we are, but we've made a choice to believe it. Each time we dwell on it, if we make that stronger. But we can take that thought when it arises, we can choose to reject it, and we can choose to rewire our brains by deliberately choosing to think about the truth. It takes practice, takes a lot of practice, but it is possible. It is possible. We can do it. We can break down those negative patterns and pathways. Our thoughts are really, really powerful. But I think, you know, in a lot of kids' stuff, they talk about stop, think and act, or stop, think, do, whatever you like. We can learn a stop, think, act approach to our thoughts. We can learn to catch the thought. That's the stop part. To catch the thought. To think, is this a good thought? Is it truth? Is it something that I want to accept or reject? People with true strength know how to captivate their thoughts. They know how to take captive their thoughts. And God is actually the one who enables us to do that. And when we do the stop, think, do, we can actually stop, think about it, and then make a decision about what we're going to do with it. So instead of believing that the circumstance has control, we can believe that God is in control. Psalm 63:6 says, I lay awake at night thinking about your promise. And Psalm 103, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. What we think about is what we become. So the psalmist in here, he is actually choosing to meditate. He's choosing to meditate on the word of God. He's choosing to meditate on the promises. He's actually choosing to rewire his brain to know what God says about him and not what the people around him say about him. And that is what we're supposed to do. So instead of believing that God is against us, we can acknowledge that the word of God says that he is for us. And if he is for us, then who can be against us? so we can change the way we think. So what changes to your thinking might you need to make? What changes to my thinking might I need to make? What thoughts do we need to take captive? And I want to ask us, what will we do today to actually begin to change the way we think? So in building strength, we've got to understand that we have choice. We do have a choice, and we can take our control of our thoughts. The third one is that I'm not dictated to by my emotions. If we have strength, then I am not dictated to by emotions. Feelings are real. Feelings are real, and they help us understand a whole lot of stuff about what's going on. But feelings are not the truth. Feelings are an expression of how we are reacting to a situation, and not necessarily the truth. They help us deal with situations, but they should never, ever, ever dictate our actions. So when we're struggling with emotion, we need to look at the emotion and to understand where it comes from. Thoughts and emotions are connected. I don't know about you, but if you think about a really, really good thing, you usually feel happy. If you start thinking about something that hasn't been so great, you start feeling sad because thoughts and emotions are connected. But we've got to learn not to live out of the emotion. We've got to learn not to live out of just the stuff that bubbles up in the situation. Things happen in life that trigger emotions for us. We've got to learn to deal with them and not allow them to affect us. What are we going to do when an emotion comes and is tempting to overwhelm us and threatening to overwhelm us? The choices that we've made along the way and the ability to take thoughts captive will actually enable us to deal better with our emotions, because our emotions need to be brought under control. I hate hearing that women are emotional beings. The truth is we're all emotional beings. Men are emotional beings as well. We're all emotional beings. Some of us show our emotions too much and some don't show them enough, but we're all emotional. So we have to think and understand our emotions. What am I feeling? What am I feeling? Try and identify the emotion. You know, kids with Asperger's and autism don't actually necessarily understand or identify emotion, and you actually teach them to understand and identify emotion. We could learn a lot from learning to understand and identify our emotions. What am I feeling? Am I feeling happy? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling frustrated? Am I just feeling annoyed? What am I feeling? And then the second thing is, why am I feeling this way? Has someone annoyed me? Has something happened? Has a circumstance arisen? Why am I feeling this way? And then we have to look at the choices that we have, because we do have choices. We always have choices. So what choices do we have? So I'm feeling this way and I understand what the feeling is. I've identified where it comes from. Now, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about that emotion? And then when we think about the choices that we have, don't just do something. Think about the options that you have and then make a decision. What often happens is, instead of processing the emotion, we react. We allow ourselves to be overcome and we react to a situation instead of responding to a situation. And I want to encourage us to be responders, not reactors. A reactor just takes no notice and just sparks off. But when we respond, we've gone through a process of thought. We've gone through a process of identifying. We've gone through a process of saying, I have some choices here. What choices am I going to make in this? So we can learn to acknowledge, identify, and understand feelings, and then we can make a decision. Do you know, emotions unchecked affect everything we do. And one of the other things that, if you've done the Shine program, you'll know about the Coke bottle. If you shake that Coke bottle up and you take that lid off, it doesn't just sit in the bottle, does it? It just goes everywhere. It affects everything. And anger and uncontrolled emotions are like that. We've got to learn to take control of it. We've got to learn, when we've been shaken up like that, to work through what's going on for us and allow the emotion to subside so that we act and respond out of a process and not just out of a whim. Strong people don't ignore emotions. They've simply learned not to let them dictate how they will act, Strong people don't ignore emotions. Strength doesn't mean that we ignore our emotions. Strength says, I understand my emotion. I understand that it's there, but I'm not going to let it dictate to me how I act and what I do. In Samuel, we see King David allowing his emotions to dictate some stuff. Now, on the whole, he was a really, really good king. He made some doozies of mistakes. And, of course, one of his worst ones was when he saw Bathsheba and he had a particular emotional feeling toward this woman. And then, basically, instead of getting it in check, he committed adultery and then he committed murder to try and cover up the adultery. He stuffed up because he didn't think through the process of what's going on and what's happening for me. He just acted out of impulse. He said, oh, there's a nice looking girl, think I'll go and, you know. Another time later on, he was actually in a very, very difficult situation. His son had risen up against him, was trying to kill him, was trying to take over the kingdom. And the army goes out to fight. Now, David had said, capture my son, don't kill him. But somebody had killed his son. So it was horrible. He was in mourning for his son. We can understand that. But in the process of mourning for his son, he was so overwhelmed with emotion that he actually forgot his duty. He forgot his duty to his people and he forgot his duty to his kingdom. These people had gone out and had saved his life. They had killed the person that was threatening his life. And they say to King David, it's like you don't care about us at all. We've gone and done this for you. We've saved your life. We've saved your kingdom. And you don't even care. And they said, get up, go and acknowledge your people. See, he was allowing his emotion, which was real and understandable. He was allowing that to overwhelm him to a point where he didn't do his duty, his greater duty to the people. Now, I don't want to ever be in a tough situation like that. But I think we need to learn to be like Jesus, who was actually in a very difficult situation too. He actually also became overwhelmed with emotion in the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, it says he was so overwhelmed with emotion that he was sweating blood and tears. It says in the Bible that he was in agony of spirit. Agony of spirit. That's very, very strong emotion when you're in agony of spirit. But what did he do? He didn't allow what he felt to stop him doing what he knew was the right thing. He made a decision. He said, I'm in agony, God. And if it can be done another way, then let's do it another way. But you know what he said? But not my will, God, but yours be done. So he was able to process his emotion and to say, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to move forward into what God's called me to do and I'm going to make a good decision. And he did. See, he acknowledged his emotions. He looked at his choices, but he made his decision based on God's purpose and will and not on his own. And that's how we process these things. So when we identify our feelings, maybe it's someone's hurt us. You know, we just look at what's happened. We do have choices. We can choose to forgive. We can choose to talk to that person and sort it out. We can choose to get counselling if we need it. You know, there's actually a lot of choice that we have. So I want us to think about what negative emotions are we allowing to control our lives? What negative emotions are we allowing to control our lives? And what steps will we take to ensure that emotions don't rule our lives? And I've run out of time, but very quickly, I want to look at the fourth point. And this is that we have choice. We are able to control our thoughts. We can take control of our emotions, but ultimately, my strength comes from God. My strength comes from God. When we allow God in the picture, he brings strength to our lives. When we learn to trust in him in every situation, even when we don't understand. And girls, there's a lot of stuff that I don't understand. There's a lot of stuff that I really do not understand in this world. But I just have to trust God and find my strength in him. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, when I am weak, he is strong. He actually says, if you read the whole verse, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer. For when I am weak, he is strong. In fact, in all of that, we don't really know Paul's situation. He talks about a thorn in the flesh. And people have all sorts of ideas, but when you read it, you can assume that it was probably the people that kept following him around, persecuting him. They were Jewish people who were just trying to have a go at him and draw people away from the... That's dogged Paul everywhere that he went. And he had asked God to take this thorn in the flesh away from him. And God has said, no, my grace is sufficient because God's strength is shown in your weakness. My strength is shown. And so God's strength is shown in our weakness. And so that's when he says, therefore, it doesn't matter if I'm weak because God is strong. Paul understood that when he felt weak, when he wasn't able, when he was overwhelmed, that God was able. That God was able. And there are times in our lives when things are heavy and we actually can't see a way through. When things are really, really, really tough. And it's in those times that we draw on God's strength. You know, stuff happens to us. Stuff happens to us that we can't control. Stuff happens to us that is horrible and sad. Stuff happens to us where we really need the strength of God. And he says that he will strengthen us. He promises to strengthen the weak. So if you're feeling weak here today, God's promise to you is that he will strengthen you. Psalm 23:3 says, he renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. And Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I looked up the word strength and there were so many references that I've just picked a couple because there are heaps. Isaiah 40:31, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We put that one to practice on the Tuesday of the camp, didn't we, Fiona? It was really, really hot. It was really, really sticky. And we were just working with 100 kids. And, it was fun. We had 20 kids at a time. And, we had to trust in God's strength to get us through that day. It was really full on. The true strength is found in God and in who God is. True strength is found in God and in who God is. And, you know, he gives us strength to get through the day. He gives us strength to make those difficult decisions that we have to make. He gives us strength to get out of bed when we want to stay in bed because it's warm there. He gives us strength to do the things that we need to do. And in Ephesians 3:16, Paul writes, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with strength to the Spirit. His glorious unlimited resource. God isn't going to run out of strength. God isn't going to run out of resource for you. His resources are unlimited. God is able to bring strength to our lives. So what do you need strength for today? What do you need strength for today? There's lots of things that I need God's strength for. What do you need God's strength for today? I needed God's strength just to be able to prepare this message. I was really sick yesterday and we had stuff on last night. I needed God's strength just to be able to prepare a message. What do you need God's strength for today? Trust God. Trust God for his strength. Just as we finish up, we're going to have some morning tea soon. As we make good choices and as we learn to transform our thinking and process our emotions, we actually develop strength in our lives. But ultimately, we can do all that, but ultimately our strength comes from God. Because we're human beings and stuff happens. And so we trust in God. So I want to leave you with a question. Are we willing to trust God and to draw on his strength for our lives, letting him in to transform us? Because that is where our true strength comes from. Why don't we stand? If there's something that you need strength from God for today, I would encourage you to just give it to God and ask him to strengthen you. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of great strength, that even in you, it says in your weakness is so far above even the greatest of human strength. But Father, you are a strong God and you are mighty to save and you are able. Father, we thank you, Lord. I pray, Father, for every woman here today that convictions of their life will be based in your word, Lord God, and on the truth of who they are in you. Father, that they are loved, that they are valuable, that, Father, that they have choice and are able to take captive thoughts, and that, Father, that, Lord, that you have given them the ability to do these things. Father, I pray each one of us would learn to place our hope and our trust and our faith fully in you. And Father, we thank you, Lord. And you might be here today for the first time, and maybe you don't know much about the grace of God. Can I encourage you that as we pray this morning, just to give your heart to him and to just accept his love and his grace and his forgiveness into your life. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. Father, we give ourselves to you today, and we ask, Father, that you would live fully in our lives. That, Father, we give our lives to you today, in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.